Good afternoon. I'm Catherine Maddox, and today I'll be talking about CDC's communication efforts around non-pharmaceutical interventions to help slow the spread of 2009 pandemic influenza A or H1N1 flu. I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. To begin, I'd like to give you a quick overview about CDC's communication response structure to give you some context for our non-pharmaceutical intervention communication activities. CDC communication response follows the Incident Command System, which is a standard for emergency management. A Joint Information Center is activated to coordinate communication, outreach, and media. And during particularly large responses like H1N1, programs specializing in different aspects of the response are pulled together into organizational units to coordinate efforts around their topic area and to work closely with the Joint Information Center to get messages out to the public and key partners. So, for example, during the H1N1 response, CDC's influenza division led the efforts, and they coordinated programs focused on topics that included vaccination, medical countermeasures like antivirals, community mitigations, which include quarantine and travelers' health, and non-pharmaceutical interventions. The topic areas in yellow were covered under CDC's Division of Global Migration and Quarantine, which is the division that coordinated the session here today. So this graph depicts the World Health Organization's pandemic phases across the top, and then under that, the U.S. government stages, and at the bottom, CDC's pandemic intervals, and you can kind of see how all of those fit together. These elements, along with the pandemic curve shown here, are based on H5N1 planning assumptions, which include a very severe pandemic and the initial outbreak overseas. With these assumptions going into the H1N1 response, we expected to have time to prepare and communicate our prevention messages early during the World Health Organization's pandemic phase 1 through 5, which would be before the pandemic was thought to arrive in North America. However, since the first cases were actually detected in North America, we didn't have the time we thought we would based on our planning assumptions, so we had to start responding and communicating our quarantine, travelers' health, and non-pharmaceutical intervention messages immediately. As in any emergency response, we initiated communication to help protect our ports of entry. The quarantine and travelers' health messages targeted travelers arriving to and departing from the United States and partners in the travel industry. And they were disseminated before, during, and after travel through the internet, at ports of entry, and en route. The pandemic planning messages included entry and exit screening, travel precautions, and preventive measures. But during the H1N1 response, we didn't actually do screenings since the disease was already here. Since it would have provided very little public health benefit, in this instance, we focused our communication efforts on travel precautions and preventive measures. It quickly became clear that we needed to shift our emphasis from ports of entry to community settings. So based on previous influenza pandemics and mathematical modeling, CDC focused on educating individuals and communities on non-pharmaceutical interventions, which are practices and policies, including individual behaviors and community measures, that do not involve using vaccines or medicines to help prevent, interrupt, or slow the spread of infectious diseases. So the thought was that non-pharmaceutical interventions could be implemented to help slow the spread of the virus while waiting the several months it would take to develop, test, and distribute a vaccine. Targeted communities for the non-pharmaceutical intervention messages included childcare programs, K-12 schools, institutions for higher education, and businesses because of the ease of transmission in these settings due to large amounts of people in close contact with one another. Non-pharmaceutical intervention messages should be disseminated before, during, and after a pandemic, and they include washing hands, covering coughs and sneezes, cleaning surfaces routinely, and social distancing, such as staying home when sick and dismissing students from school. As part of the overall emergency response communication plan to target audiences at ports of entry, in community settings, and in the general public, we developed many different products, including guidance on how to slow the spread of the virus, travel health alert notices handed out to passengers while traveling, travel notices posted online, posters, communication toolkits that included things like fact sheets, questions and answers, and template letters, electronic media like podcasts and e-cards, and prepared responses to questions from callers to our CDC Info Contact Center. As the response progressed and ended, we launched several communication activities to assess our communication process and products. The presentations you'll hear today will describe evaluation results and lessons learned from these communication activities. Cross-cutting lessons learned for you to listen for include the need to establish partnerships and channels appropriate for target audiences, to coordinate messages to ensure consistency across audiences, to prepare for the ability to adapt quickly to changing messages through the progression of a pandemic, and to present messages in plain language. This information will help inform future communication efforts around non-pharmaceutical interventions and pandemic response. For more information on non-pharmaceutical interventions, global migration and quarantine, travelers' health, and more, visit our website, cdc.gov, or stop by CDC's booth here at this conference. Thank you.